This week on Potlatch, Doyon President Tim Wallace and American Indian teacher and composer Dr. Lewis Ballard. The president of the Doyon Corporation, Tim Wallace, addressed the Tanana Chiefs Conference in Fairbanks on March 15th.
It gives me great pleasure to come and address you again this year to let you know on several items some of the things that's been happening in the past year in relationship to Doyon its shareholders, and also that reflects you, the members of the Tanana Chiefs Conference. The primary area that's been affecting not only the Tanana Chiefs Conference, Doyon, but the entire state, of course, is the D2 legislation. There's a big controversy in Washington, D.C. in regards to the natives, their land, and how their land should be treated. There's a great feeling back in Washington and Congress that native land should be considered public lands. And of course, we oppose that, saying that it's private property. And they also have a feeling that we're a bunch of rich natives floating around up here. And the fact that as the D2 legislation moves out of the House Interior Committee, it may go to the House Merchant Marine Committee, which is chaired by Congressman Leggett. And Congressman Leggett, in which I have a letter from the Friends of the Earth, he quoted to them as saying that we've already given the Alaska Natives everything they want. They're rich. And so I don't see why we should give them anything else, including subsistence hunting and fishing. So we could be in real trouble if the D2 legislation should happen to end up in his committee. And there is a concern about the wealth of the corporations I mentioned before, which also reminds me of a story that was told at the National Congress of American Indians Convention in Anchorage. It was about this Oklahoma Indian who had a little problem with pronouncing, always getting R's mixed up in his words. And he went to see an eye doctor, and his eye doctor was checking his eyes out, and they told him, "Well, you have a cataract." And he says, "No, I don't." And he says, "Yeah, you do have a cataract." He says, "No, I don't." He says, "I have a Rincon Continental." But getting back to the D2, there's a provision, Title 8, I believe it is, that deals with subsistence. And quite frankly, in going over the entire language in which on the bill, it's something similar to which the state is proposing. And a few months ago, a couple of us went down to Juneau to meet with the governor and his people, Sam Dementoff and myself, and Walter Newman, met with some of the other regional people. And basically, they were trying to push something of the similar idea before us to adopt as the state's position. However, during the whole course of the discussion, they kept bringing up the great amount of costs it would take in setting up the regional advisory boards, the local advisory boards, back down to a state board. And so I told them that at this time that we would not be willing to support the state in its endeavor, but would continue to support the provisions of House Bill H-39, for the simple reason that there's no guarantee once that House Bill H-39 passes, that the state would continue to implement the Fish and Game Board as they presently propose. The the whole idea of course, of H.R. 39 is to classify the various federal lands. And of course, in dealing with these federal lands, once it does pass, all federal lands fall into an air quality standard Air Quality Standard 2. And then a number of the areas, the wilderness areas, designate into number 1, which says that you can't, smoke cannot drift over on it, no pollution can run down the rivers on it, has to be kept absolutely in the pristine area as it is. And this is going to have a big effect on what happens with our land. And the board of directors have been equally concerned for the simple reason, in 1991, the land becomes eligible for taxation. And Doyon and the villages have roughly 12 million acres of surface and subsurface lands. And if they tax that at $1 an acre, we would have to pay $12 million a year in taxes. And so it's a sizable amount that we're concerned about, and if we're not able to meet those taxes, then slowly the land will have to be spun off in order to meet the tax burden. And so we are very concerned that we have to get the land in a position of being able to pay for itself or lose it. Another area that has come out in the public, both state, federal, local, and within particularly the Doyon Regional Corporation, is the fact that Carter has proposed has approved a proposal to build a gas line down through from Prudhoe to Fairbanks to Delta to the Canadian border. Most of it lying within the boundaries of the Doyon region. Doyon early on endorsed the Alcan pipeline over the other two routes of Arctic Pipeline, Arctic Gas, and El Paso. The situation basically being, and in talking with people of Northwest, is that, of course, now that it's over and the Northwest Gas Line has been approved, it does put us in a little more of a better light with Northwest, in which hopefully we'll be able to generate better employment opportunities as well as contractual opportunities. The line that ran down, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, the oil line that ran down several years ago, many of you people worked on it. And I'd just like to urge that when you go back to the villages and talk to the people that have worked on this area that were members of the union, that they should continue to pay their union dues, and that if they have become delinquent, to make up that delinquency. And also would be having further discussions with Northwest on the hiring on the pipeline and relating some of the problems that were experienced with the contractors and unions on the Trans-Alaska Oil Line.
Doyon President Tim Wallace. Dr. Lewis Ballard, an American Indian now living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, visited the interior of Alaska in mid-March. He conducted workshops to encourage the teaching of American Indian music in Alaska schools. He also gave us permission to play for you a recording of his own work called The Incident at Wounded Knee. We hear this work now with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra conducted by Dennis R. Davies. Thank you.
Thank you.
visited at Wounded Knee by American Indian composer Dr. Lewis W. Ballard. Dennis R. Davies conducted the St. Paul, Minnesota Chamber Orchestra. Dr. Ballard, the composer, now talks about the teaching of music in American schools and about his own work.
I think it's important, Jeff, that everyone who listens to the Potlatch radio broadcast recognize the importance of creativity in music for our youngsters, both Eskimo and Native Alaskan, and that the future is practically unlimited insofar as music is concerned. For you see, the Native music and the Native songs, which should become a part of everybody, from youngster to old person, this should be learned by our children in the schools. They should never lose these. They should sing these and keep them forever with them as they grow up, because this will give them strength and it'll give them a personal power inside. Like the old people said in my tribe, this is a voice. This is a sacred voice. The drum and the rattles and the instruments and the songs represent the voice of the ancient ones in the past, so that the young people can derive strengths that will enable them to cope with many problems that may not have to do with music, but it'll give them individual strength as a person. Now, for those that are interested and have the talent in music, they should go on and learn something about music notation, about writing music, composing music for instruments, just as I have with this composition that you heard, this piece of music that I wrote for a symphony orchestra. And I've written many pieces for symphony orchestras. I'm still writing, and I'm still growing as a musical artist. I don't think I'll ever stop growing, because any artist who stops growing and improving, well, he's dead. Because music is life, and if you stop making music, then there's no more life, you see. The St. Paul Chamber Orchestra asked me to write a composition for their ensemble in St. Paul, Minnesota. And this was about 1973-74, and so I composed a piece of music that you heard, and called this Incident at Wounded Knee, because at the time I was writing, all the trials were taking place in St. Paul, Minnesota, for the people who participated in the second conflict at Wounded Knee. But now, I'm not political, and just the fact that I named this Wounded Knee does not mean that it's a political piece of music, because art should transcend dogma. And this is not fraught with political implications. It does not point to any specific incident. People will ask me, what incident are you referring to? And I said, this is for you to decide, because I'm striving to reach the universal through the specific. And as any artist who strives to do, through this specific incident, there must be universal elements, artistically valid, and I want it to be good music, primarily. And the fact that it has been performed so much and that many people have accepted it as a fine piece of music, it's been compared favorably to the late works of Béla Bartók, of the Hungarian composer. And I'm very flattered at that, of course. But here is a voice of a Native American speaking through a form of art that is alien to our people. So the question is, can you get to the heart of a culture in forms that are alien to that culture? I think that you can. And I want to encourage other Native American youngsters to compose music someday. Serious music that will reflect the voice and the spirit of the indigenous people of this great land, you see.
Dr. Lewis Ballard, American Indian teacher and composer. I'm Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.